Side on all them crazy murderers will never run from inside. You try to keep me down cause you see no joy. All them knows them from, so you call a man a boy. You not I can just see, open up your eyes.
The thing that makes Judaism dangerous to everybody, to every race, to every nation, to every idea, is that we smash things that aren't true. We don't believe in the boundaries of nation state. We don't believe in the ideas of these individual gods that protect individual groups of people. These are all artificial constructions, and Judaism really teaches us how to see that. In a sense, our detractors have us right, in that we are a corrosive force. We're breaking down the false gods of all nations and all people because they're not real.
And here we go, folks. It is Tuesday, April the 25th, 2023, and you are listening to today's edition of the Ugly Truth broadcast. Welcome to the program, folks. Hope you are all doing well, those of you out there, at least of goodwill, who do not seek to do harm or to otherwise make all of our lives here on God's green earth something of a living hell. Those of you who are not of goodwill and who are dedicating yourselves and your resources towards increasing the already overbearing misery that unfortunately seems to be the prevailing weather in today's world, you can take a running jump, as our good friend Mike Piper, may he rest in peace, used to say. Anyway, folks, here we are. This is the third program this year. In fact, it's actually the third program I've done in the last 48 or so hours. There were two programs that preceded this one, but I was not particularly happy with the way that they were put together, and so now I'm doing it again. Yes, folks, it is an annoying habit on my part. I insist upon, as best as I can, whatever work that I put out there, that it is that all of my T's are crossed and my I's are dotted, because, you know, we've only got one shot at this. And this is one of the things, you know, that our dear friend Mike Piper, may he rest in peace, you know, he always described himself as a stickler for details. And, you know, ultimately, this is what led to his life being destroyed, you know, because he wouldn't go along with a lot of the nonsense that unfortunately prevails like a pandemic in certain circles within this quote-unquote movement, another word that Mike hated to use. He hated to refer to this thing as a movement because it really wasn't anything of a movement at all. It was just this collection of various individuals who seemed to be allied around a common cause, but who oftentimes were so haphazard and so sloppy with their analysis of things that they really just wound up making things a lot more cluttered and muddy than they should have been. And, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, however we want to look at it, I inherited this tendency from Mike that I am a stickler for details. And if I'm going to put something out there, I want to make sure that it is as close to my best as possible. And because of this, I'm a very unforgiving critic of my own stuff. And therefore, if I put something together, even if I've spent an hour and a half or 2 hours or 3 hours, whatever, doing it, and I'm not comfortable with it, I don't put it out there. And so here we go, folks. We're going to hopefully third time will be a charm. And this program will be posted today. Speaking of that, by the way, I want to thank those of you out there who have contacted me after the previous two programs with something of what I would what I would describe, folks, as a sigh of relief. I got some comments from people saying, "Oh my God, thank God you're back." Not a lot of comments, folks. I mean, this is nothing compared to what the website and the program were prior to it being shut down by the kosher commissars of cancel culture. You know, our previous website, we had a free blog. We had 20 million hits. We had over 6,000 subscribers. And so it's nothing compared to what it was. You know, a lot of the people who were involved in helping run the day-to-day stories and things like that, have moved on to other ventures. But nevertheless, I have gotten some nice commentary from people that I've known for years. As I said, something of a sigh of relief. Thank God you're back. Well, we'll see about that, folks. You know, I don't entertain any grand illusions about what we're going to be able to accomplish here. As I said, I think on the last program, my reason for doing this basically is to keep what level of sanity I have for myself intact, as well as to be a source of comfort for a handful of other people who find themselves drowning in this confusion, this diabolically driven confusion that unfortunately does prevail today. And on that note as well, folks, I think I have figured out how to do this BitChute thing, so I'm going to try as much as I can. I'm sure that I'll be stopped and shut down along the way. But I think I figured out how to do this thing where I can put it onto these other platforms like BitChute and Rumble and things like that. Again, I don't entertain any notions that they'll stay up for long. You know, this is the one topic that you're not allowed to talk about, folks. You're not allowed, you know, you can throw your darts at that dartboard, the dartboard of truth, all day long. And as long as you don't get close to the bullseye with it, you'll be allowed to continue. In fact, you may even get a lot of applause from the very people who don't want that dartboard up there at all, as long as you don't hit the bullseye. Well, again, folks, being a stickler for details, I do insist upon homing in on that bullseye. And that bullseye is what you heard at the beginning of this program when we were listening to a certain writer of the Hebraic pedigree who was basically telling the ugly truth about the faith that and the culture that he follows and to which he holds membership. And that ugly truth deals with Judaism. And it... My efforts here, our efforts here, are aimed at focusing and then hyper-focusing on that bullseye of Judaism, because that is the problem, folks. That is the energy source that is driving all of this instability in the world on a geopolitical level, and basically bringing everything as we know it on God's green earth closer and closer to D-Day. And that D-Day, of course, is Doomsday, which this group of people who happen to be members of this cult, they believe that this has to take place prior to all of the prophecies of this very dangerous and demented and deranged cult religion, that this Doomsday, this Armageddon, whatever we want to call it, that this has to take place, that billions of people have to die in fire, in fiery death, in order to bring to fulfillment the rising of Israel, the Jewish state, as the epicenter of all human affairs. And that's what we tend to, it's what we focus on this program, folks. And, you know, we take no prisoners, you know, we don't hold to a lot of the mistaken notions that unfortunately, a lot of people, even some very intelligent, very well-educated people who happen to subscribe to a certain a Christian faith who say that, you know, that that we're focusing on the wrong thing here, that we need to focus on the Talmud and we need to focus on the Khazars. Of course, forgetting the fact that on the morning of Good Friday, I'm sorry, not Good Friday, Crucifixion Friday, 33 AD, there were no Khazars and there was no Talmud. Only the followers of Torah Judaism screaming for the blood of one man who also threw his darts at the bullseye on that dartboard and who was not concerned with the opinions of others, even if it meant completely destroying this horrible cult doomsday religion brick by brick, stone by stone, not one stone being left upon the other. So anyway, let's see, folks. So what we're going to be doing today is we are going to be talking about the events that have been taking place in Israel ever since the new government was elected in November of 2022. The new government that has been elected has been brought to power and is being led by Netanyahu. If you follow the news, Israel appears to be in complete turmoil. Now, of course, whenever we are dealing with anything involving the followers of Judaism, okay, any piece of information that happens to come our way, of course, we have to be very circumspect about it. In fact, you know, most of the time we are completely justified in being downright skeptical about it. Because these people, the followers of Judaism, whatever we want to call them, Hebrews, Israelites, Judeans, Judites, Jews, whatever, deceit is baked into this cult religion that they follow in the same way that flour is used to make bread. Okay. Deceit and lying, even if it's 1% dishonesty mixed in with 99% honesty, or vice versa. Okay. It's always part of the recipe that they use for all of the information that they put out there. Now, having said that, my personal opinion, folks, is that the war that we see taking place right now in Israel is a very real war. It's been 4 months of protests, 4 complete months of protests, that have basically brought the Jewish state on many occasions to a complete standstill, to the point where Ben-Gurion Airport was closed down. They couldn't maintain allowing any flights to leave or any flights to land. Now, of course, this seems to fly in the face of what we know about those of the Judaic pedigree, in that they stick together, which for most of the time they do, folks. But there are, you know, since what we're talking about here is religious and political gangsterism, okay, we do have those instances where we have a divergence of interests. You know, we know that gangsters generally cooperate with each other, okay, in plying their trade of organized crime. And then there are times when they go to war with each other. And I've pointed out many times on this program, you know, the infamous scene in the beginning of the Godfather film, where you know, it's at the wedding of Connie Corleone, and all of the heads of the five families of New York are there. And, you know, they're greeting each other with kisses and embraces and all of the rest of that. And 10 minutes after that, they're at war with each other over this divergence of interests and opinions involving drugs. So, and that's a real thing, folks. That's a real thing. It does happen. And it does happen even with the Jews. It happens with the followers of Judaism. And we have a lot of historical precedent going back thousands of years that in many ways is replaying out right now before our very eyes. You know, as those of you who have followed the work that we have done, both on the website and with the radio program, you will recall how much time and energy we have spent trying to bring to the present discussion, you know, ancient history involving the war between Judea and Rome. A war that, I mean, if we want to be honest about it, it lasted about 200 years total, beginning with the arrival of Pompey, the general who was in command of the Roman troops in that part of the world, when he arrived in Jerusalem at the invitation of the Jews themselves, okay, because they were in the middle of this gang war, this interfamilial power struggle between two forces who were trying to take control of Israel to Jewish forces. And each one tried currying the favor of the Roman Empire in order to get over on the other. So, you know, despite what Jewish historians will say, the Romans didn't invite or did not invade Judea. They were invited by the Jews themselves in order to, as I said, you had this government run by the Maccabees, okay, which were Jewish terrorists. Even modern day Jewish historians will tell you that the Maccabees were Jewish terrorists who began this civil war in Israel by massacring their own people who weren't religious enough. They were the forerunners of today's ISIS and these other quote-unquote Islamic terrorist groups. Not that ISIS isn't a terrorist group, they are, but there's nothing about Islam that justifies what ISIS has done. So what we see taking place today is a repeat, almost. I mean, it is uncanny the similarities that exist between what took place thousands of years ago versus what is taking place today in Israel. 2,000 plus years ago, when this group of Jewish religious terrorists rose up, known as the Maccabees, and they began this civil war, not against the Greeks, as they try to portray it every year with that silly religious celebration that they have known as Hanukkah, or as our good friend Mike Piper used to disparagingly refer to it, Hanukkah. It didn't begin as a war of liberation against the Greeks, the way that a lot of right-wing religious Jews try to portray it today. It began as a slaughter of these what were considered to be apostate Jews, who were leaning more towards Greece, more towards Western civilization, were abandoning some of these backwards tenets of their Judaism. And so these Maccabees basically hunted them down and slaughtered them. And then began, they saw this as a sign that they were supposed to begin this thing of creating, you know, all of the prophecies of bringing to fulfillment all of these prophecies of Judaism, where Jerusalem would be the headquarters of all world affairs and the Jewish people would be a kingdom of priests, and that each would get their 2,000 slaves during what they refer to as the Messianic Age. It was only because of the instability of this civil war that the Greeks went in and quelled this this uprising, or tried to quell this uprising, which the Maccabees, at least according to the basics of the history — this is, of course, after Alexander the Great had died and his remaining generals had taken over various parts of his empire. And so the Greeks, the Syrian Greeks, basically just said, fine, let the Jews eat themselves. We've got bigger fish to fry. Well, anyway, folks, the reason that this is important is because we're watching a replay of what took place 2,000 years ago, where you've got one group of religious terrorists at war with those they consider to be apostates. And this is what's taking place right now. The protests taking place in Israel, all of the instability. This is real. It's real because remember that Israel was founded, at least the way that they try to portray it, that it was founded as a secular state. And so, you know, you have in Israel, you have this this two-headed beast where you've got these religious nutcases on the right who want to turn Israel into a truly Jewish state where Jewish law rules everything, including no electricity on the Sabbath, no car driving on the Sabbath, all of these things. And then you've got these ultra, ultra leftist, hardcore Marxist types as well. You know, Israel is just the world capital of vice and just iniquity, and it is the gay capital of the world. And so you have these two strongly polarized forces in Israel, and that is the reason for all of the turmoil that's taking place. Now, the reason that this is important, folks, I mean, let's face it, you know, 7 million, I think, is what the population, I think I read a story just the other day, it says it's closer to 10 or 11 million. 10 million insane Jews fighting with each other. You know, as far as the rest of us should be concerned, great, let them destroy each other, okay? Except that it's not as simple as that. Now, just a few weeks ago, the very same day or within 24 hours of each other, we had two earth-shattering events that took place, two earth-shattering news stories. The first was that Donald Trump had been indicted on these completely just what can you say about these charges with this prosecutor in New York, where he's trying to prosecute Donald Trump with violations of federal law, and he's trying to do this utilizing a state judicial system, okay? Meaning a state prosecutor trying to prosecute someone for not violations of state law, but for violations of federal law. Well, you know, folks, this is just, all of this is just what is part of their drive to keep Trump from being reelected, okay? They know they don't stand a chance in court. But that's not the big story, even though that was the one that grabbed all of the headlines, you know, for weeks leading up to it, and now even to this day, weeks after the fact. The real story, the really big story that all people on the planet should have been paying attention to was the one that got very little mention at all, except within the Hebrew press itself. The story was involved a tweet that had been posted by former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak, who is what we would call, he leans, you know, he's left of center on the Israeli political spectrum, okay? He is a, you know, he's got a long career with the Israeli military. He achieved the highest rank within the IDF. And as I said, he was prime minister. In fact, he was the prime minister, if memory serves me correctly, who signed the peace deal that Bill Clinton, U.S. President Bill Clinton, had put together between Israel and the Palestinians that basically created the Palestinian Authority. Ehud Barak tweeted that what has just happened is that a government has come to power in Israel that is occupied by a bunch of religious messianic nutcases armed with nuclear weapons who are out to start a war with Islam over the issue of the Temple Mount. That was the real story that should have gotten all of the airplay and all of the discussion, folks, because what we're talking about here is World War III, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. Now, I think it was on last week's program, I played that clip of President Trump talking about how close we are to nuclear war right now. Now, this is a theme that we have covered many, many times on this program and on the website, folks, which is Donald Trump's decades-long fear of nuclear weapons and of nuclear war. As we explained many years ago in various op-ed commentaries that appeared on various stories on the website and on the programs that we did, it is our opinion that it is precisely this issue, the danger of nuclear weapons and of nuclear war, that basically brought Trump into the White House. Yes, all of these other things that dominate the discussions that he has involving immigration, involving the economy, crime, all of these things, the entire Make America Great Again idea. Yes, you know, these things all have an important place. Hold on, folks, I have to respond to something here. Sorry. This modern age and all of this stuff. Yes, I've got them. Okay. All of these things are important, but in his mind, they pale in comparison to the danger that the world faces as a result of nuclear weapons, especially nuclear weapons in the hands of religious nutcases, such as what we see taking place today. Now, technically, folks, World War III began 20 years ago with Israel's attack on America on 9/11. Okay, this clash of civilizations, which Benjamin Netanyahu described many times. He said, you know, that we will be, we, meaning the West, doing the bidding of these Jewish interests that control these various Western countries, their political systems, their economies, their militaries, and all the rest of that stuff. Benjamin Netanyahu described once that we will be at West with militant Islam for the next century. Now, by my math, folks, that gives us another almost 80 years. And, you know, and if Netanyahu is being serious about this, obviously whether it lasts a century or not doesn't matter, folks. What it means is that he has big plans, he and the people that he has within his little gang. Now, there are several things that have happened since this new government came to power in November that indicate that we may be a lot closer to this flashpoint, to this trigger event, than people realize. And I think Donald Trump does realize this. I think that this is why, like I said, this was why his peace deal, his ultimate deal of the century, was so important to him. It was one of the things that he hit the ground running once he got to Washington in 2017. Hit the ground running on this. Because he understood that if World War III is going to happen, if nuclear weapons, if we're going to see a nuclear war take place, then it's likely going to take place in the Middle East, and it's going to involve Israel and the Muslim enemies that she has created for the last century. Now, where we're going to go with this today, folks, is we're going to talk about what I feel, what we here at this humble little informational endeavor, what we feel is going to be the trigger event that is going to kick all of this off, okay? And in my opinion, in our opinion, it's going to be over the Netanyahu's planned destruction of the Al-Aqsa compound in Jerusalem, and specifically that big, beautiful, giant golden dome known as the Dome of the Rock. Now, for years, the Israelis have been doing all sorts of things under the guise of doing archaeological research, where they have been digging under the Al-Aqsa compound, and especially the Dome of the Rock, which religious Jews absolutely hate the fact that that structure is there, because they believe that it's sitting atop the place where their temple stood twice before it was destroyed. Now, they understand, you know, as we say often on the website, folks, nobody ever accused the Jews of being stupid. They're not. They're highly, highly intelligent, very cunning, very clever. They know what would happen if they were to if they were to blow up the Al-Aqsa Mosque or the Dome of the Rock. They know what would happen. Even the nations of the West that are the most disgusting in their bending over backwards and forwards for Israel. I mean, there's no bloodbath that that especially America doesn't justify, saying, well, Israel has the right to defend herself, you know, the bloodbaths in Gaza especially. But if the Jews blow up that mosque and blow up the Dome of the Rock, even the United States is going to have a real tough time justifying that and saying that the Jews did this because they have the right to defend themselves, whatever. And so how are they going to do it, folks? Well, in my opinion, the way that they're going to do it is that they're going to cause an earthquake that is going to cause that entire structure there in Jerusalem to collapse in on itself. Okay. And the proof, the indicator that this is coming a lot sooner than many would like to consider is that is the earthquake that took place back in February, I think it was, in Turkey and Syria, where 50,000 people were killed. Huge earthquake. So they have already, which I believe was done deliberately, folks. I believe that it was a man-made earthquake, which is very easy to do. And you don't have to be, you know, you don't have to be a conspiracy theorist to know that earthquakes are very, very easy to create. And it doesn't require any, you know, space age technology or anything like that. All you have to do, you know, the fracking that is taking place right now, where they're retrieving oil and gas and things like that from the ground just by boring these deep holes into the earth. The state of Oklahoma, for example, it suffers about 3 earthquakes a week, just about 1,000 earthquakes. What is it, 1,000? Maybe it's 3 earthquakes a day. I would have to look that up. But I did do a lot of research on this. Big ones too, folks, not small earthquakes. Big earthquakes that cause damage to buildings and roads and things like that. And it is due entirely to all of the fracking and the oil drilling that is taking place there. Well, in Israel, in the Middle East, especially in the Levant, there is a huge fault line there, one of the biggest in the world. Israel and the Levant have been places where some of the biggest earthquakes have happened. And so if an earthquake takes place and the result of it is that the Dome of the Rock, the entire Al-Aqsa complex, whatever, collapses in on itself, it's going to be a completely believable event that it's the result of an earthquake. I mean, look what happened. We just had this huge earthquake in Turkey and in Syria that resulted in 50,000 people being killed. I mean, the pictures of the devastation of what took place in Turkey is just, it boggles the mind and the eyes to see it. So, and not only that, folks, but we have to remember the most important component to all of this, which is that the entire black magic that the Jews have utilized, whatever we want to call them, Jews, Hebrews, Israelites, going all the way back to the very beginning of the affair, okay, which is, you know, this deity that the Jews, Hebrews, Israelites worship. Think about the whole Exodus story and all of these disasters that took place against Egypt, because Egypt was abusing the apple of Yahweh's eye. Okay, natural disasters, right? Frogs and lice and rivers turning to blood and all of this stuff. Okay, this is the black magic that the religious leadership of the Hebrews has used in keeping their people in a state of they're paralyzed. They're mentally paralyzed. You know, the Jews know how to write a good story. They know how to write a good narrative in order to create a captive audience. So, and what's worse, of course, folks, is that in those countries, especially the English-speaking countries, such as the United States, where the greatest political support for Israel exists, if this earthquake takes place, as I think that it will soon do, then the way that it will be interpreted, and of course, you know, the direct result of this earthquake being that the entire Al-Aqsa compound just is brought to the ground, not one stone left upon the other, okay? Then the way that this will be interpreted is that this was the will of God. This was the will of God, who views it as an abomination, in fact, the abomination of desolation, since we're going to get biblical about it. That's the description that is used in the book of Revelations that features as really the only book of the Bible which mainstream evangelical Christians, especially in America, it seems to be the only book that they pay any attention to these days. They're so into this end of the world stuff, you know, especially the part where they get vacuumed into heaven, you know, to escape all the tribulations that are coming. You know, it talks about this abomination of desolation, okay, in the holy place. And so if this earthquake takes place and the entire Al-Aqsa compound is reduced to rubble, then the evangelical base in America is going to see this as the sign that it's time to rebuild the temple. And there's already a huge movement in that direction, folks. I mean, I don't care where you go. I remember I was in Texas years ago, and when I was back in my hotel room, I would flip through the channels, and they must have about a million channels down there in Texas with every crazy Christian Zionist evangelical pastor. It's like they're all headquartered down there. And, you know, you watch these programs with these pastors. Of course, they're always, you know, they don't talk about Jesus. They talk about the Jews. Their heads are totally buried into the Old Testament. You know, they're not, you know, Jesus freaks, they're Moses freaks. And, of course, one of the big topics that makes its way into all of these discussions is the rebuilding of the Jewish temple. Now, what I have a few other stories here that I need to touch on that indicate, you know, just how close all of this is to coming to fulfillment here. But before I do, I'm just going to touch on this very interesting story that I was really glad that I found it, folks, because, you know, as soon as I saw what had happened in Turkey with the earthquake and the fact that there were aftershocks from that earthquake that made their way all the way to Jerusalem, and importantly, that there were tiles that had fallen off of the Dome of the Rock. As a result of that, I said, hot diggity dog, that's what they're going to do. They're going to create, if they can create an earthquake in Turkey that results in you know, damage being done to the Al-Aqsa compound all the way south into Jerusalem. Imagine what they can do if they create an earthquake in Jerusalem. So anyway, in doing the research on this, I ran into a story about, let's see, it is 2018, so we're talking about 5 years ago, where a Jordanian journalist claims that Israel is creating earthquakes in order to destroy the mosque and the really all the religious, the Islamic and Christian religious sites in Jerusalem. So, and like I said, folks, I was relieved to run into this story because I thought, please don't tell me I'm the only one who is thinking along these lines, that this is what the Jews are planning to do, that they're going to create an earthquake to bring all of this down. And my prayer was answered in that regard in the fact that I ran into this story. So this is appearing on the Israel National News website, which I recommend, folks, that you read every day religiously. And I say that religiously in a literal sense, meaning it is your duty as a Gentile to sit down and to read what it is that these crazy followers of Judaism are up to. And the best site that I have found in that regard, I mean, in Israel, just like in the United States, you have these websites and news outlets that are on the far right, you have some that are in the middle, and you have some that are on the far left. Israel National News is the best site in figuring out the mind, you know, the perverse and the dark mental energies that drive especially the right-wing religious types in Israel. It's the best site for understanding that, because they really aren't afraid to speak their minds and to let it all hang out, as the saying goes, you know, where they speak very disparagingly of Gentiles and, you know, what Judaism really teaches about the relationship between Jews and non-Jews. So you should read that, folks, religiously. That's why I, you know, in the EdNote commentary that I use that accompanies a lot of these stories, I say, you know, this is something that every Gentile with a vested interest in his or her own future survival needs to understand. Okay, because these people are engaged in a war of extermination against us, folks, okay, which we will be going into at length as well, again, revisiting what it was that this insane, deranged Jewish writer said in very plain language at the beginning of the program. You know, we are at war with the rest of the world. You know, we don't, you know, we are a corrosive force, and we're out to destroy all of these things that run contrary our teachings, to what we believe. We are in this war of extermination, and that, anyway, folks, I'm sorry I'm going a little long on that, but yet, yes, you should religiously, every morning you should read Israel National News, or just go to our website and read what it is that we have to say about it. Okay, so this story, I'm just going to read some of the more important points of it. A columnist for Jordan's for one of Jordan's daily newspapers claimed several days ago that Israel caused the recent earthquakes. Now, this is back in 2018, folks. I'm going to look up what these recent earthquakes were. I'm sorry, I should have done that beforehand. Very unprofessional of me. Okay. Yeah, so this is published in July of 2018. A fourth earthquake felt near Tiberias. Earthquake measuring 3.3 on the Richter scale felt east of Tiberias, the fourth such incident since the morning hours. An earthquake measuring 3.3 on the Richter scale was felt in the Tiberias area on Sunday night shortly before 1 a.m. There were no reports of injuries or damages. The earthquake was the fourth to have been felt in the region since the morning hours. Okay, so this Jordanian journalist says that Israel is causing these earthquakes by testing nuclear weapons or a new type of weapon underground. While nuclear testing does cause the ground to shake, the earthquakes it produces are unique enough that seismologists, this is very important, folks, that seismologists have been able to differentiate between nuclear tests and earthquakes for decades. According to Zakarna, this is the Jordanian journalist writing in 2018, these experiments are part of Israel's attempt to cause a man-made earthquake in order to cause the collapse of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Dome of the Rock, and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. This is the church, Christian church, built over the place where we believe Jesus' body was stored, was wrapped and stored, for 3 days following his crucifixion. The earthquakes focused especially on the area of the Sea of Galilee and its surroundings and measured around 4 on the Richter scale, as Zakarna wrote in his article. This raises the question of what caused these earthquakes, their timing, and their location. It could be that they were caused by experimental explosions carried out by the Israeli occupation's army at a certain depth under the Lake Kinneret, which is the lake, I believe, the Sea of Galilee. In order to test new weapons such as smaller nuclear bombs, which have limited yield, or a conventional weapon created for use against blah, blah, blah. Okay, so here we go. He writes, it could be that these actions are preparation for a major criminal action against sites, Christian and Islamic sites in occupied Jerusalem, which are holy to Islam and Christianity, especially the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the Dome of the Rock, and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, while at the same time creating a pre-planned earthquake to destroy them in preparation for creating a new temple in Jerusalem. He writes, we cannot trust the Israeli occupation since it acts, plans, and plots, and at the end of the day destroys in order to achieve its political, geographic, and biblical goals. It does not hesitate to use the technology, knowledge, and science in its hands in order to complete its planned expansion, while at the same time blaming nature and natural causes. So, folks, as I said, I was relieved to see that somebody else had gotten there before I did. And I believe we can take it to the bank that this is what they are planning to do. And they're planning to do it soon, folks. With all of the turmoil that's taking place right now, and it is real turmoil, folks. This is not a this is not a put-up job. This is not something that they're doing in order to make it look like Israel is falling apart. This is the real deal. Now, how does a nutcase like Netanyahu, surrounded by fellow nutcases? I mean, they're all nuts, folks, whether they're on the right or on the left. I mean, if they have been pickled in that brine of Judaism, then to some degree they suffer from mental infirmities. Okay, anybody who believes that there's this deity out there who's created the entire universe, but that he has focused all of his love and all of his affection on one tiny, insignificant group of people over all of creation. I mean, let's just say for the sake of argument, we're only talking about the planet Earth, where there's a lot of creation, okay? Forget about other planets in the universe, whatever. And that he favors them above everything and everyone else. Anybody who embraces that to any degree is nuts. Okay, let's see, having said that, when you've got a nutcase like Netanyahu, whose country is falling apart because of these protests that are taking place, how do you level the playing field? How do you get all of that squabbling to end? Well, what you do is you start a big fat war with 2 billion Muslims, the Palestinians, the Iranians, The Jordanians, you can see that they are setting things in motion now with statements that have been made and certain things that have taken place recently, that Israel is getting ready to trash the peace agreement that Bill Clinton orchestrated between Jordan and Israel back in, I think it was 1994. Yeah, so that's how you do that, folks, because if they go forward with this earthquake business and destroying the Al-Aqsa compound, all hell is going to break loose, especially on the part of the Iranians, who have made the liberation of Jerusalem and the protection of Al-Quds, meaning the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque, the liberation of those sites. The Iranians have made this part of their official foreign policy strategy ever since the revolution of 1979. So if you're Netanyahu and you're looking around you and you're seeing that your country is falling apart, how do you bring all of that to a screeching stop and you get everybody rallied around you? You get a big, fat war started. And that's what they're getting ready to do. Now, I'm going to touch on a few other important stories here. Again, folks, as I said on the previous two programs, you know, I'm not as well organized as I was in previous years. You know, I'm not the young man that I was in years past, and so I'm not as organized. And plus, I had a really good teacher who helped me organize my thoughts, which was Mike Piper. You know, we would spend hours a day talking about these things, to the point where when I sat down to do a program, you know, I had all of my P's and Q's, as they say, basically lined up. And so, unfortunately, I don't have that anymore, you know, because Mike has been gone now for many years. And so when I come in here to do these programs, I'm not as, you know, I'm trying to compress a million different ideas and a million different pieces of vital information into a small thing. Hey, by the way, we're going to take a quick break here. I'm going to tell you a really good joke because I just thought about, you know, compressing everything down into. So anyway, there's these three guys walking along the beach. There's an Ashkenazi Jew, there's a Sephardic Jew, and then there's this Palestinian Gentile who acts as a servant for the two of them. Okay. So this lamp washes up on the beach, you know, Aladdin's lamp. And so the Ashkenazi Jew, you know, being the more greedy of the three of them, picks it up and rubs it, and out comes the genie, you know, from the Aladdin story. And the genie says, I'll give you three wishes, one for each of you. And the Ashkenazi Jew says, well, I wish that all of my Ashkenazi Jewish brothers and sisters all around the world, suffering from horrible persecution in all of these Gentile countries, that they'll be able to go back to the planet we came from, which is Jupiter, folks, and not the Roman Jupiter with a J-U, but J-E-W, Jupiter. That we all go back to Jupiter, where we can live in peace and happiness and never have to worry about anti-Semitism again. And the genie slaps his hands and he says, done. And the Ashkenazi Jew disappears. So then the Sephardic Jew picks up the lamp and he says, I wish for all of my Sephardic Jewish brothers and sisters spread throughout the Middle East and what few are left in the Iberian Peninsula, Spain and Portugal, who've suffered from millions and millions of years of anti-Semitism because of the horrible Gentiles, that they'll go back to the planet they came from, Jupiter, J-E-W-P-I-T-E-R, where they'll live in peace and harmony forever. And the genie claps his hands, he says, done. And then the Sephardic Jew disappears. And so then there's just this Palestinian Gentile picks the genie says to him, "What do you want?" And he says, "Well, let me make sure I get this right. All the Jews have gone back to Jupiter, and the world is nothing but Gentiles, right?" And the genie says, "Right." And he says, "Okay, well, I'll have a Coke." So anyway, there's another version of that that's kind of racist, folks. I thought, you know what? We'll make a silk purse out of the sow's ear, and we'll use this to make a better point, which is, you know, how much better the world would be if it were just us Gentiles. Anyway, and I'm not advocating, a bloodbath or a Holocaust, folks. The Jews are smart people. They know how to build rockets. They know how to make diseases to wipe out the entire world. They know how to make nuclear weapons. They can build a spaceship, and they can get on that spaceship, and they can go back to Jupiter where they came from. Anyway, having said that, we're going to hit on a couple of other news stories here before we close out the program, because we are quickly approaching the 1 hour mark, which I don't want to subject you to anything more than that. Okay, so anyway, folks, a few other indicators that this is coming down the path very quickly at us. Besides the uprisings in Israel that Netanyahu really needs to quell, uprisings which, by the way, folks, are also being funded and supported and organized by elements within the Biden administration's State Department. Okay, even Biden, as mentally incompetent as he is, his people know that we've got a very dangerous situation here, and that the Jews are getting ready to destroy the Al-Aqsa compound, and that all hell is going to break loose. Remember what I said many years ago, folks, in understanding the relationship that exists between Israel and America. Yes, America is Israel's whore, Israel's prostitute. Okay? The things that the dirty things that we as a nation have been forced to do in order to keep the Jews happy has just been shameless. Okay? But there isn't a prostitute in the world who will do anything that you tell her to do, her or him, for whatever amount of money, okay, no matter how dirty and dishonest and degrading it is. But the one thing that you will never convince a prostitute to do, no matter how much money you offer that man or woman, is to put a loaded gun in her mouth or his mouth and blow their brains out. Now, even the Biden administration is looking at this situation with Netanyahu and these nutcases and saying, we have a problem here. They're getting ready to demolish this Islamic, these Islamic holy places, and World War III is going to break out. So, besides the turmoil taking place in Israel, we also have statements that are being made on a daily basis by some of these nutcases in the Netanyahu government, indicating that this thing is coming towards us very quickly. One of those took place just a few weeks ago when this absolute religious nutcase, modern-day Maccabee, modern-day Sicari, zealot, meaning the rebels who fought against Rome 2,000 years ago, Smotrich, who I believe right now is the finance minister. No, not the finance minister. Yes, finance minister. He went to France and gave a speech at a gathering of fellow nutcase right-wing zealot types, where he said that the Palestinians don't exist as a people. Now, this, again, you know, that is the thing that got the most attention. But that wasn't the real story. That was just like the situation that happened here a few weeks ago during the week that Donald Trump was indicted. And at the same time, former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak made this statement about this messianic regime with nuclear weapons. When Barack's tweet hit the headlines, everybody focused on the nuclear weapons. They said, oh, look at that. Israel's admitting that she's got nuclear weapons. Well, that wasn't the real story. The real story was the rest of Barack's statement, which is that you've got a messianic government looking to start a war with 2 billion Muslims over the Temple Mount, the Al-Aqsa compound. Likewise, when Smotrich gave this speech in Paris, and he said, you know, there's no such thing as the Palestinians, they're not a real people. That wasn't the real story. That's important, okay, because basically what he's saying is that the Middle East belongs to the Jews, and if the Palestinians are murdered, every single one of them, then no crime has happened because the Palestinians don't exist as a people. That wasn't the real story. The real story was the map that was on the podium where he was speaking. And it was a map of Greater Israel, folks. It wasn't just this little sliver of land along the eastern shores of the Mediterranean, okay? It was Greater Israel going all the way over past the Jordan River towards into Iraq, right up to the border with Iran. Now, Smotrich, anybody who has followed his political career, knows that he has made statements in the past where he has said, you know, in the future, when the Jewish state is strong enough, when the Jewish people are powerful enough, we're going to make good on all of those promises in our Torah, in the Old Testament, whatever we want to call it. We're going to make good on all of those, and we're going to take over everything. Okay. So he speaking behind this podium where there is this very clearly delineated map of Greater Israel, not just this little slice of, you know, this little thing, but the whole big enchilada, is his way basically of telling the world, this belongs to us, and we're going to get it come hell or high water. Also, very importantly as well, folks, that picture of Greater Israel that he had on the front of his podium for everybody to see was also the logo of the Jewish terrorist group, the Irgun, okay, that massacred Palestinians and British was involved in all sorts of terrorist acts against not just the Arabs, but against the British and the Americans as well. And folks, the Irgun that was the launching point for Netanyahu's Likud party. Okay. Now, I know I've thrown a lot of information into this and probably not in as ordered a fashion as I would like to. But what we clearly have in front of us, folks, it's like if you were to turn on a cooking show on YouTube or something like that. Turn down the volume and you just watch with your eyes and you can see, okay, so here our chef, he's got onions. He's got everything laid out here on the counter. He's got onions. He's got garlic. He's got two cans of tomato paste. He's got basil, fresh basil. He's got fresh oregano. He's got olive oil. He's got ground beef. And he's got a package of uncooked spaghetti or linguine, which is my personal favorite. Okay. You don't need a degree in culinary arts to figure out that this guy is making spaghetti with tomato sauce and either meat sauce or meatballs, okay? So what I've just laid out here in front of us are the ingredients for World War III and Armageddon. Okay, all of the ingredients there are assembled, and they're being put together as we speak. And as I said at the beginning of the program here, I believe that it is going to be the deliberate earthquake that Israel is going to bring about that is going to destroy not just the Al-Aqsa compound, but the Christian sites as well. And these idiot Christians who are celebrating the reemergence of this beast known as the Jewish state, which God saw fit to destroy in the past, not one stone left upon the other. They are anticipating this, not realizing that, in effect, what we have here is a knife to our throats by these people who have sworn themselves to our destruction. And these people think that it's just swell. And finally, folks, I would be remiss if I didn't point out that this is exactly what Donald Trump was trying to prevent. Now, I'm going to just say one more quick thing here because it just popped back up into my memory. Donald Trump, when he was doing all of this business with Israel, whether it was recognizing Jerusalem, whether it was the Golan Heights, all of the rest of this stuff, you know, all of the pro-Palestinian people, the anti-Zionist people, including the quote-unquote truth movement people, turned on him, saying, "Ah, look at that, he's just like all the others. He's doing this, to pay back Benjamin Netanyahu for bringing him into power." That's not true, folks. Benjamin Netanyahu was the man orchestrating the entire drive to destroy Trump before the 2016 election and in helping Joe Biden to steal the 2020 election. Okay? Donald Trump had to work within the political realities at that time. Now, I'm going to use a quick example here that I think best encapsulates and explains what we have. Imagine you have a family, okay, that has lived, you know, it's generations long, centuries long, and it's built up this wonderful family wealth that is stolen from them. Maybe a hacker or somebody like that, you know, just destroyed the entire family wealth, family estate that's existed for 2,000 years, okay? Let's say we'll put a number on that wealth of $10 million, okay? So that's a 1 followed by, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, no, 8, 7, 7 zeros, okay? And so they pray, you know, "God, please give us back our $10 million that was horribly, unjustly stolen from us and has reduced us to poverty and privation." And then one day, the family patriarch goes out to the mailbox of this hovel where they're living, and he sees there's a letter in there from one of these outfits like Publishers Clearing House that they give away money to people. And it says, "Congratulations, you've won $10 million. And the family is elated. They say, our prayers have been answered. You know, God answered our prayers. He's going to give us back the $10 million that was stolen from us." And then they go to collect it. And, you know, this lawyer comes out and says, "We're sorry, we made a mistake. You know, the computer, the guy who was printing out your thing, he accidentally forgot to put the decimals in the right place." Okay, it's only $100,000. Okay, which would be 100,000.00. Okay, we're very sorry. It's, you know, it's not 10 million, it's only 100,000. Well, the family's obviously devastated at this. And they say, "No, we're not going to accept this. We want the 10 million that was promised us and that we deserve." And so they take the $100,000 and they use that to hire a team of lawyers to go after this place to collect their $10 million, which they're never going to collect, okay, because they have to use all of that $100,000 for these legal fees. Legal fees. Okay. So this is the it's not a perfect metaphor, but I think that it does function in describing the reaction on the part of the pro-Palestinian anti-Zionist community to Donald Trump when he said, you know, we're going to give the Jews Jerusalem because they've already got it. We're going to recognize them holding the Golan Heights because they've already got it. But we are going to do good things for the Palestinians. Well, because the Palestinians weren't getting back everything that was taken from them, they completely abandoned Trump, which is exactly what Netanyahu needed to happen. He needed the Palestinians to walk away from Trump's deal of the century so that Israel wouldn't have to. Okay, so that Netanyahu could go to the media that's completely under his control and say, hey, look, we want peace with the Palestinians, but they won't negotiate. They won't, Trump's offer was the most generous that's ever come along, and look what they did. They walked away from it. That's the situation that we're in, folks. And look, I am not in any way not paying respect to the horrible suffering that the Palestinians and the others in the region have gone through. But we have to be practical about how we are going to capture and cage and contain this giant alligator now known as the Jewish state. It has to be done in a very strategic way. And this was what Donald Trump was trying to do. If the Palestinians had taken that $100,000 and had used that in cleverly investing and in building up, you know, that $100,000 could very easily, over a course of years, turned into that $10 million or $100 million that was taken from them. Okay. But because they allowed their emotions and their bitterness, which they have every right to have given what has happened to them, because they allowed that to get the better of their reason, this is why we find ourselves now standing at the precipice of our own destruction. And this is what is driving, I'm just speaking for myself here, folks. I completely support the Palestinians in their cause. I would love nothing more than for the Jewish state to cease to exist as a political entity. And as I said earlier, for all of the Jews who refuse to live in peace with the rest of us Gentiles to get on a spaceship and to go back to Jupiter where they came from. Okay, absent that, we have to come up with something in order to get this wild animal, get a leash around the neck of this wild animal. And if that has to be done incrementally, as Trump was planning to do, then that's what we've got to do, because we're dealing with a group of people here who believe that they have been commanded by their bloodlusty, bloodthirsty deity to incinerate the world. Anyway, folks, that's it for today. Went a little bit long here. We should be back this weekend, God willing, and we will continue this very important discussion. Again, folks, I apologize if I appear kind of disjointed. Got a lot of things on my mind these days, as I'm sure all of you do as well, as we sit back and watch as this ship of state, the USS Titanic, just sinks deeper and deeper into these waters of our own oblivion. So anyway, folks, that's it for today. Until we meet again, God willing, stay safe, stay sharp, stay smart, and let's all pray for America.